number three. All right, this book, The Last Harvest, has legs, as they say. It's still running. It's doing great business. It is causing a lot of provocative thinking to become available for a lot of people who like to think. It's a remarkable book. It's quite a walk through the wild side when you look at the totality of it. And Damien Dumas is back tonight to talk about issues that are mentioned and talked about, described, and analyzed in the book, but who also have their own impetus in contemporary society, and we're seeing things change all the time. There's a lot happening out there. Let's see what Damien has to say tonight. Welcome back. Thanks for being there.
Thank you for having me again, Jeff.
My pleasure. You know, this whole thing of Lucian Mars, the author of The Last Harvest and Harvest, and your work in promoting it has spurred a bit of let's call it a mystery. People want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. What is Damien's relationship with Lucian Mars? How did he come to be such a good spokesman for such an extraordinary book? Does their relationship go back to when the book was still a thought in Lucian Mars' mind? Did Damien contribute to the book? Some people are asking about that. It's a very intriguing area for some people out there. Anything you want to add or offer up that might resolve some of these questions and mysteries?
Well, I think there's probably nothing new about that particular subject area that I haven't mentioned before. As the publisher, I also worked on editing the book. So I, of course, have a rather intimate knowledge of a book that I have read multiple times through the natural process of editing it.
Yeah. A lot of work editing. People don't understand. You can lose a book and a movie in the editing room. And that's the truth. People don't know that. Editing is such an art.
Yes, that's very true.
There have been major motion pictures that have actually been recut or re-edited that have been made far better with more intelligent editing. So editing is a real skill. How hard was this to work on?
Well, I didn't find it particularly hard, and probably it's because I had a passion for the material. So I think if someone asked George Lucas if editing Star Wars was hard, it probably wasn't for him because it was his passion.
Got it. All right, we are in an economy here in this country and in the Western world that has been obviously intentionally taken over, and now it's being dismantled, if not destroyed. It's being wrecked. That's my view on it. Economic issues are never left to chance. There are no coincidences. This is all being orchestrated. Thoughts on that?
Well, over at Rents recently, you linked to an article on Sputnik International that stated that global growth is projected to decelerate from 3.1% in 2022 to 2.1% in 2023, according to the World Bank. And in emerging markets other than China, the deceleration is even better. But the World Bank's projections for China, in my opinion, are probably inaccurate, given that China's unemployment rates are incredibly high due to their exports plummeting, and you cannot possibly have positive growth when your main source of income is plummeting along with your main source of employment, which is the manufacturing sector that produces all these exports. So
Damien, sure. Hold on. This article, hold that thought, this article. In China, are many of the unemployed formally employed in creating the kinds of things that we buy at Walmart, Costco, and so on? Has the American market really kicked the Chinese in the rear end in terms of employment and unemployment? Is that part of it?
Well, this is what is universally being reported on both sides, that we supported so much of their economy by importing goods from them, and then when we stop placing the orders, the factories close and the people involved in the export side of business don't have a job.
Right. Okay. Very good. All right, so, the article. Go ahead.
Yeah, this article is of particular interest because the powers that be are normally obsessed with things like growth and driving growth at all costs, but now it appears like they're being very matter-of-fact about it. And if one pays careful attention to what they encounter in today's media, they will notice that there are other instances where the powers that be seem no longer concerned about that which they used to be concerned about. And this is important because it is because the plans of the elite are actually close to completion. So the elite are no longer required to worry about economic growth and keeping unemployment low, as their deep underground bases, for example, have almost all been built. And they won't have to worry about the economically disenfranchised masses when they are all either dead or enslaved. So speaking of economic disenfranchisement, it is important to realize that from the view of the elite, the ultimate path to self-enrichment is to simply take all the wealth on the planet for themselves. And all they need, and I want to stress here that all they need, is for some, maybe a nuclear strike on New York City or any American city, another and more destructive pandemic, a race war, a financial collapse, staged alien invasion, worldwide crop failure due to catastrophic climate change. Any of these events are a pretext to declaring a state of emergency, implementing martial law, and then confiscating everything you own, including your physical body. So your listeners may ask, how can they take everything for themselves, including our physical bodies? Well, it's in the law, but many of you may not know that, because all presidents since Johnson have signed a series of executive orders upon leaving office, each series building upon the other, to bring us to the current legal totalitarianism at the flip of a switch that I mentioned a few moments ago. And the switch is nothing more than the declaration of an emergency. And in fact, any emergency will do when they are ready, and they are almost ready, because we should all realize that 2025 is only about 1.5 years away.
At 16 months, 18 months at the most, depends how you look at it, I guess, but correct. It's coming on fast, and that brings to mind the Deagle.com projections, January 1st, 2025. So things are, big dynamics are at work here.
Yeah, and I know many in your audience may not think it's as serious as I'm making it out to be, so I would just like to briefly go over a few of these executive orders.
It's very serious.
Everyone, right, so that everyone listening can wake up to reality, because the alternative news community has a tendency to get distracted by its own hot topics, just as consumers of mainstream news do. And so both kind of tend to get distracted by their own respective renditions of celebrity gossip. So I would say if we looked at executive orders 10995 all the way through executive order 11051, we cover all communications media seized by the federal government, seizure of all electrical power, fuels, including gasoline and minerals, seizure of all food resources, farms, farm equipment, all kinds of transportation, including your personal car that you're making all those payments on, and control of all highways and seaports. Executive Order 11000 is especially important because it allows seizure of all civilians for work under federal supervision, which means, you guessed it, a concentration camp. We can continue.
Are these, Damien, excuse me, are these Biden?
Sure.
EOs, they're all Biden. Of course, he didn't do it. We could more appropriately
term
them.
These are executive orders that have been done by every president since Johnson. This is just part of it.
Right.
So
we don't want to leave Obama out of it, because he's running most of what's going on. Yeah. Go ahead.
We definitely won't. We also have a federal takeover of all health, education, and welfare. We have the Postmaster General empowered to register every man, woman, and child in the USA. We have seizure of oil, aircraft, and airports.
You heard him right. He said register. Okay, that's registering for you name it. It's just more surveillance. Go ahead.
Of course. We also have another important one is Executive Order 11004. Housing and Finance Authority may shift population from one locality to another. seizure of all railroads, inland waterways, and storage facilities. And finally, we have the director of the Office of Emergency Planning authorized to put executive orders into effect, quote, in times of increased international tension or financial crisis, which is a hint of what is to happen that I mentioned earlier. So these are just a few actual verifiable executive orders that have been put in place to get us started on our path to both enslavement and genocide. You with me so far,
yes.
Jeff?
Listen, I know about those orders. I've covered them years ago when they started to pile up. There's one that I'm sure is on your list, and it has to do with taking food away from anyone who is deemed to have been hoarding food. In other words, if you have food put away, they'll come and take your food. Very simple.
Right.
So, and they keep records of what you bought. A lot of people, no, seriously, you may hide it. But they'll have receipts, they'll have records if they get to the point where they want to do this. It's not a joke. And the other quick question, don't lose your train of thought. I don't believe that executive orders are constitutional. I don't think they're legal. I think they're designed to skirt the Constitution entirely. And that's my take. What do you have? Any other view?
Well, I would not have a different view. I would also say that they're unconstitutional, but part of the problem is these executive orders are often passed when the president is transitioning out of office, so people aren't even aware that they've been passed.
Good point. Go ahead. Good point. Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to talk a little bit about the role of the United Nations here, because in 1961, for example, the U.S. State Department issued document 7277 entitled Freedom from War, the U.S. Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World, which, of course, ties into gun control. And the report details a three-stage plan to disarm all nations and arm the U.N. with the resultant desired endgame in which no state would have the military power to challenge a progressively strengthened United Nations peace force. And one of the quotes from the document says, quote, another possible surrogate for the control of potential enemies of society is the reintroduction in some form consistent with modern technology and political processes of slavery. It is entirely possible that the development of a sophisticated form of slavery may be an absolute prerequisite for social control in a world of peace. How bold is that for that document to actually literally say
incredible.
Slavery?
That's incredible.
And it ties right into FEMA camps.
Yeah.
So this talk of the United Nations is very important because while Jimmy Carter created FEMA under Executive Order 12127 and 12148 and gave FEMA the right to run the entire country, in March of 2003, FEMA joined 22 other federal agencies and programs to become the Department of Homeland Security, whose task was to protect our nation from dangerous people. Notice it doesn't say terrorists, but rather people. So we're beginning to see the pattern here, and it gets even worse. Clinton eventually transferred all that power to the NSA and signed Presidential Directive 13, allowing U.S. troops to be placed under United Nations command. Most people do not know how many foreign soldiers and military equipment are already behind our borders. So at this point, not only are there over 1,000 concentration camps capable of holding 30 million people, but as of 2012, over 30 foreign military bases under the UN flag are operating inside the United States. So when people say, oh, well, U.S. soldiers will never fire on U.S. citizens or put them into camps, they don't need to. We have foreign militaries which will be perfectly comfortable with doing that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The UN has, over the years, slowly gotten to be stronger and stronger, and people don't understand. It's not the World Economic Forum yet, but it's got bigger clout than that, waiting in reserve. Believe me, it's going to be the servant of the globalist elite, and it's going to be nasty. And if that World Health Organization pandemic treaty passes, we're in deep trouble immediately. Immediately. They can release any pathogen they want anytime and declare it a pandemic, and the WHO will all of a sudden control our sovereignty. That's what the treaty will allow for. if we approve it. We will see.
Oh, totally. If we approve it, which it probably will get approved because no one will realize what even happened. I mean, most people don't know about the 1986 Immigration Control Act that declared that the president can mandate any kind of ID he deems necessary, including a biochip. So most people have heard that expression, mark of the beast, and many people talk about it. But this sounds like an implanted chip. So the idea is, well, why is your Social Security number not enough for a president as a means of self-identification? Well, perhaps it has something to do with the 2005 Civilian Inmate Labor Program. You know about that one, Jeff?
No, I do not.
No. Oh, okay. Well, my pleasure to let you know about it and your audience as
Please.
Well. So on January 14th, 2005, the U.S. Army published a, quote-unquote, Rapid Action Revision Plan, Army Regulation 210-35, commonly known as the Civilian Inmate Labor Program, which is more commonly known as a concentration labor camp. So Army Chief of Staff, and this can all be looked up. I'm not making this up. These aren't Lucien's words. These are actual verifiable facts. So Army Chief of Staff General Peter J. Schumacher stated at the time, and quote, this regulation provides guidance for establishing and managing civilian inmate labor programs on Army installations. So note the wording, this is not a prison labor program, but a civilian one. So after that, in 2009, a bill was passed called the National Emergency Centers Act, or H.R. 645, which completes the agenda to implement a nationwide martial law apparatus through the U.S. Northern Command in conjunction with the Department of Homeland Security, Empire, FEMA, and NSA. As for what passes for an official emergency, in quotes, well, financial indebtedness resulting from a currency crisis, worldwide or otherwise, can be added to the menu of detonating devices, making your concentration camp into a glorified debtor's prison. So, Jeff, would it shock you to learn that the National Guard in 2009 began to post numerous job opportunities for internment and resettlement specialists to work in civilian internee camps within the United States?
I think I remember that because there was some literature out that people copied, and I think I ran stories about it. I do remember that part. Yes, here's the point. Everything Damien has said is true. Executive orders exist to literally strip every single bit of freedom we have away from us and put us in camps and worse. It's all there. It's all in black and white, just waiting to be picked up and imposed on us. That's how bad things are. This is true. It's all true.
And they're just waiting for the right moment, which is almost upon us.
That's
so
right.
And a lot of people may wonder, why is it that FEMA gets billions in funding, yet every time there is a disaster, it fails to help anyone? So where exactly are tax dollars going? Is this not a question that your audience should be asking, Jeff? I mean, have you ever heard of a moment where FEMA actually did anything where they were needed? I've never heard of that.
No, neither have I. No. It's a joke, and the joke's on us.
Unfortunately, it is. And to give you a better idea of the mentality of those who run FEMA, in an Army War College report published in 1970, authored by former FEMA Director General Louis Jafrida, the proposal was put forth by him that upwards of 20 million American Negroes, in quotes, shall be interred in these detention centers in the event of a race war within the United States. And when we look at some of the things that have gone on in the last few years in terms of riots and Antifa and that sort of thing, we can already see right there there could be something to this this plan that was hatched already back into 1970.
Right. Now, this is a grim reminder that we have been sold out long ago. It's nothing new. These laws, executive orders, I don't know what they are. To me and my way of thinking are completely unconstitutional. That nowhere in the Constitution does it talk about executive orders. Not that I remember.
Nor I. And it gets even more fun because we also have the Defense Resources Act. And it says in Section 1001 that whenever the president shall deem that the public safety demands it, he may cause to be censored under such rules and regulations as he may from time to time establish communications by mail, cable, radio, television, or other means of transmission crossing the borders of the United States.
But all means. Even, yeah.
Oh, of course. But what's even more damning is Section 903, which ties into what I've been leading into, where it empowers the president to limit employment opportunities, great choice of words there, to activities essential to the national health, safety, or interest, or in other words, limit employment options to labor camps and work details that the state prescribes as essential.
This is unbelievable. It's true. It's all true. Damn. I had forgotten about a lot of this.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like a legal nerd here.
No. But this is important. People need to know. We've been sold out long ago. It's nothing new. The danger we face now is obviously imminent. We are in great peril. But this doesn't just start yesterday or last month or last year. This goes way back. Wow. Hold on, Damien. Just a sec. We got to pause and thank our sponsors. And do remember the book, The Last Harvest? It's right there on the homepage. And it's everyone who has written me, who has read it and bought it, thinks it's awesome. All right, be right back. Okay, let's get right back to it. Talking with Damien Dumas, the publisher of The Last Harvest, and I'm often thinking about Americans and what they perceive as their rights are. They think of the Constitution, they think of the Bill of Rights, they think of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, but they don't have any idea, Damien, that these executive orders exist which have stripped away all fundamental rights given in the Constitution, virtually all of them. I can't think of anything that's not impacted. I mean, there are provisions now to literally put us in slave labor camps, take our possessions, all of them, and divest us of ownership of anything, and we're done. That's what those EOs say. And the average American hasn't a clue. They wouldn't believe you if you told them that their rights really no longer exist at the whim of the presidency or whatever other agencies involved. It's grim. And I also wonder if the last harvest, is the last harvest a way of talking about us? Are we the last harvest in some ways? Not necessarily with the storyline in the book, but isn't that the bigger picture here, that we are the last harvestable commodity that the ghouls running this planet are going to take?
Well, the book is called The Last Harvest for many reasons, but in terms of quote-unquote human commodities, the most valuable human commodity, as I've mentioned earlier, are human beings who have what is called Rh-negative blood factors, those factors are very valuable for hybridization and abduction and that sort of activity. So going back to your earlier point with executive orders and the Constitution, what matters is not so much what is the law in terms of what's in writing and what's on paper, but simply what the government is capable of enforcing. So if the soldiers and government workers who are going to be doing the enforcement and carrying out the genocide and picking people up and taking them to concentration camps, if they think that it's okay because it's an executive order, then it doesn't matter if that executive order goes against the Constitution, because
as
Mao Zedong said, the true political power comes from the barrel of the gun. And we see that now with BATF agents who are knocking on people's doors and trying to confiscate, let's say, certain types of components for guns, even when there's no actual law in place that says that the BATF has a right to come and confiscate these items. Yet those BATF agents don't care about the Constitution. They simply say, well, we're told to do it. And the same attitude will be held by soldiers, especially if they are United Nations soldiers who don't have any particular sentiment towards the Constitution or the American people anyway.
A lot of them hate this country for whatever reason, a lot of reasons. But correct, UN troops, probably the worst. Look, we are really in trouble here. That's the big message, I guess, of the last harvest, is it not? We are really in trouble right now. Terrible trouble.
Indeed, terrible, terrible trouble. What I would like to point out here is that I have, even if you say that, well, the audience wouldn't believe it even if you told them, well, that's their misfortune. But as far as I'm concerned, at least within the short span of this particular episode, I have proved to the audience that the president can legally, even if not lawfully, confiscate all private property and turn everyone into a slave at the drop of a hat simply by declaring a state of emergency. So let's return to my statements at the beginning of the hour and remind you that during 9/11, the elite made a fortune shorting certain stocks prior to that infamous day in history. Now, imagine how much money they will make shorting the entire market prior to, say, a nuclear attack in New York City in 2025. But that is still thinking too small. Can you imagine how much money they will make by declaring a state of emergency after said nuclear attack or any other event that they would deem a state of emergency, and then confiscating all the wealth and assets on this planet? I don't think that there's any way they could make any more money than that.
There's your harvest right there, I guess, huh? That's the ultimate harvest.
Indeed, that's another harvest as well. There are many reasons this book is called The Last Harvest. So I think, again, it doesn't even need to be a nuclear attack. Anything within reason will do. Another more severe pandemic, that would work as well. It doesn't matter.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, and they're going to do it. Why? Because they can. Because they can never have enough wealth, power, or control. And because they hate you and will kill you off anyway. So those who survive the slaughter will be headed to a FEMA camp nonetheless. Or they'll be handed over to the gray aliens to be used as lab rats, or handed over to the Anunnaki to be eaten as war rations. So again, 2025 is only 1.5 years away. And incidentally, I plan to devote an entire hour with you in the future to discussing the real reason behind 9/11, so people should keep tuning in. I'm just mentioning this because I have mentioned how the elite made money during 9/11, and I just want to let people know that in the future I will talk a lot more about that.
Very good. Well, these conversations we've been having are completely unique and really invaluable in terms of the scope of material that's covered and the facts that are presented to predicate it upon. It's all there. None of this is hyperbole. It's all real. We really don't have any rights at all on paper anymore, except the Constitution, and that has all been circumvented, as I mentioned. It's all waiting just to be, all they got to do is make a decision, and there it is. And yes, the military will carry out most of it. Most of the military will carry out most of it, unfortunately. I don't know. It's kind of like it's already happened, Damien, and we're just waiting for the actual walkthrough to occur. It's done.
Correct.
We're toast. Right now, the Russian strategic submarine forces are off both coasts. We are surrounded right now, and their commanders are waiting for launch orders. And what are they, 5 minutes away from hitting New York City? I think something like that. They're very close, off the 10-mile limit, and maybe 100 miles out, whatever. But they're ready to go. People don't know this. Americans don't know. They're not being told. They're not being informed about what's really happening in Ukraine. This is all pathetic. It's because of the media. The media is the enemy. You want to know who the globalist elite are? Turn on your commercial television. That's who
there's
it is.
There's actually a quote in The Last Harvest where I believe it is the Rothschilds state at a gathering that how much they wish to thank all the heads of all the media companies for all their assistance, without which they would have never been able to get as far as they did with pushing along their plans for the New World Order and the statements that are on the Georgia Guidestones.
Correct. Totally correct. They tell us, okay? It's all there. They've told us. We've been warned. And as I said last hour, the first hour, the only time I've seen Americans galvanized together and actually rising up and doing something that has made a change, that it was the kind of a change they wanted to happen, was when they rose up against Bud Light. Think about it.
Right, and the irony is that people are worried about a transgender on a beer can, yet none of that will matter when they're all in a labor camp or dead. So on one hand, it's great to see that people still have some fight left in them, but at the same time, a little bit sad to see what that fight is being spent on. Perhaps they should read The Last Harvest and really get upset, because it's not going to do you any good to sit in the FEMA camp and debate whether transgenders should be on the side of a beer can or whether Taylor Swift's last concert was good or not, and all these sort of topics which make for great entertainment, but in reality just tend to distract you from your imminent doom.
Agreed. Is the book in other languages?
Well,
we
just translated the book into Spanish, and it will be available soon. And the Japanese translation is also underway.
Oh, that's going to be a big market for all of our Spanish speaking and writing and reading listeners. This is a book you don't want to miss. It'll be out Spanish. How soon? When is that going to happen?
Probably within a month or two, and the Spanish translation is completely accurate. It's not a Google translation. Okay. It's an actual legitimate translation, word for word, as professionally formatted and typeset as the English version, as will be the Japanese version. I had the thought to translate the book into Chinese, but I'm not sure the Chinese government would allow it, and the book would probably be banned immediately.
Well, I think that they'll just pick up a Japanese copy and run it through a computer if they want to. They'll turn it loose. No, it's no problem. So what do you think will be the tip-off? When will we know that the end is here? When we start to see bright flashes of light off in the distance? Or will we have notice before that? And if we don't have notice by now, I don't know what it would take to create notice. We've got notice. When the Russian military and their navy is off both coasts with hundreds of MIRVed rockets and warheads on top of missiles ready to come down on us, I don't know what else people need.
Well, I could, of course, say that the book, The Last Harvest, is the notice. However, more specifically for that question, I believe that one of the big signs will be the day that the internet goes down and doesn't come back up. Or if it does come back up, it comes back up in an incredibly censored form. So once you start to see real serious levels of censorship or communications being restricted, that's when you know you are really, really in trouble.
Well, I don't know that they're going to pull the plug on the internet. I think they have to have it for command and control over the citizenry, so to speak. They need it. So it'll come back in a highly reconfigured format would be my
Correct.
Guess.
Correct.
Yeah. Wow. I guess a lot of people are starting to figure, those who saw the story about the Russian Navy, it's the top of headlines, it should be, will understand that this is not a joke. The Russians aren't joking. I don't know how much more they can take, But the best thing that can happen is that the Russians push the Ukrainian counteroffensive back and remain victorious. Because if they lose, if their front lines collapse, and sections of Donbass or Lugansk begin to get overrun, you're in trouble. We're in trouble. That could be it. They'll just say, hey, we're done with this. No more.
Yeah, it could be any number of events that would trigger it. And while we don't know precisely which one it will be, we do know that the trigger will be pressed, because that is the plan. It's carved in stone. It's explained in the greatest detail in The Last Harvest, and there's really no question about it. It's just a question of how. And it could be many, many vectors by which the president would say, okay, state of emergency, we're ready, let's go. And a lot of it's really hinging on the fact of how prepared are the elite with all their underground facilities to ride through these events. And as long as they are done and their construction has been completed and they're ready to go, then it's just waiting for the right event. And they certainly have patience because they are long-term planners.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from anybody of, let's say, note, any notables in the government or whatever, reading The Last Harvest? I'm curious what kind of audience you're getting. I'm sure the elite are paying some attention to it. It's such a breakthrough book. It's remarkable.
I do know that the elite, in quotes, is reading the book. Maybe mm-hmm. not every single member of the elite, but right. the significant ones, the ones who are really making the decisions, I know for a fact they're reading the book.
Very good. I'm not surprised. Wow. Do you see a sequel for this book, or is this a standalone? This is it.
This is it. It doesn't get any more complete than this.
No, it seems to be all there. I the parts I've read, I couldn't imagine any more.
Right.
What kind of response? I guess it must run the gamut. People saying, "Well, I don't know. It's a little too much." And so, how much disbelief are you running into? I guess that's
believe
a better
it or
way
not,
it.
There is a lot less of that outright disbelief than would be expected. So if one used the 80-20 principle, it's a lot less than 20% of people who are saying, oh, I don't believe this. This is nonsense. The most common reactions I am getting are reactions in the vein of, well, what do you recommend I do to deal with the incredible anxiety this book has fomented in me? Or right. what's the takeaway, or what can I do? I think when people read a book that describes this sort of plan in the words of those who are planning it, and in the words of your government, in the words of the elite, much like I have been quoting source after source throughout this interview, it becomes harder and harder to listen to that and put one's head in the sand and say, ah, this is nonsense, I don't believe it. Well, if you don't believe that, what would you believe? Because it doesn't get any more in your face than that.
I agree. Yeah. No, it's right there. Anything unusual that's happened to you since this book has come out that you want to share? Because you're sitting on a volcano here. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much I'd want to share, but let's say that the elite and the powers that be are very aware of mm-hmm. me, myself and my efforts to promote this book, and they are doing or have been doing what they can to try and, what's the word, create problems for me? Let's leave it at that.
Right, let's leave it at that. Okay, I had a hunch that you'd say something like that.
Yeah, there's fallout indeed.
Right. Very good. People reaching out to you with inside information. Hey, Damien, you know, I know this or I know that or I've heard this. Are people trying to contribute? I mean, it is an overwhelming read, but I'm just curious if people on the inside are trying to whistleblow for you.
I do get emails from time to time alerting me to this and that, but uh-huh. I think a lot of that I find it interesting. I certainly don't need confirmation from anyone. I'm not saying that to discourage anyone from writing to me, because I know very well, as anyone who reads this book, the validity of what's in the book. It's always refreshing to hear other people chime in and maybe say things that I haven't heard before, tell me stories that confirm a lot of things that are in the book. And certainly from my own personal life, there's a lot of events that have happened that confirm what is in this book. And I'm sure there are many people, especially those who are Rh negative blood types and hybrids, who who can confirm various facets of what is in the book. So, yeah, I definitely do get feedback of that sort, and I always welcome feedback. People can always email me at damiandumar@proton.me.
Very good. Last week, a story, in fact, just a couple days ago, that the U.S. had captured apparently several E.T. craft. Call them discs, call them UFOs, call them whatever you want. That's old news, really, to those who think clearly and understand what's really going on here. And I'm wondering if that story made any difference. Is it to the point now where people are so lackadaisical that they just yawn? I didn't get much of a reaction. I figured there'd be a big uproar about that. What do you mean, captured ET craft? Not that it's a surprise to us, but that's a big story.
I think that due to the general level of overwhelm, thanks to the internet and entertainment
constant overwhelm,
that people have trouble distinguishing at this point between what is reality, what is in a Marvel Avengers film, what is conspiracy theory, what is conspiracy fact. And they're just overloaded. They've heard it all. And so a lot of times they'll be like, eh, and they just dismiss things because the human attention span only can go so far. And attention is the most valuable commodity these days, you could say. So I think that unless a book is written like The Last Harvest, then of course people then would need the time to read it, they usually will tend to dismiss things that they hear, such as stories about alien craft. So I think that becomes an issue.
It just, the story went by and there was just no blowback from it at all. People just didn't react, which actually is something we've discussed on this program years ago, that if the announcement was finally made that the stupid asinine cover-up was over and that we are obviously being visited, have been visited, and are co-occupied on this planet by extraterrestrial intelligent life forms, that people would just pretty much, they've been prepped since the 1950s with all those science fiction movies, for goodness sakes. How long do you have to prep people? Several generations now. So I don't think most people would do much at all.
Correct.
And here's the proof. The story's released and there was just nothing much came back. Nothing that I saw. It was another yawner. Okay, we'll talk in a few weeks. Damien, thank you, as always. Very interesting conversation. Thanks for the executive orders, reprise for a lot of our listeners that we may have known about. They probably forgot. That's crucial information, so we appreciate that. You be well and stay safe.
Thank you.
Okay, good night. Damien Dumar, and there we go. All right, it's Thursday night. Back with you tomorrow. Have fun and prepare. Talk soon.